Terry Rich is a successful CEO and president of 25 years, a global speaker and an author with a fascinating and varied background. Terry joined me to talk about how to create an innovative environment. Listen in to hear his engaging stories and advice that you haven't heard before. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to the Courage of a Leader podcast. This is where you hear real life stories of top leaders achieving extraordinary results. And you get practical advice and techniques you can immediately apply for your own success. This is where you will get inspired and take bold, courageous action. I'm so glad you can join us. I'm your host, Amy Riley. Now, are you ready to step into the full power of your leadership and achieve the results you care about most? Let's ignite the courage of a leader. Terry Rich, thank you for being with me today on the Courage of a Leader podcast.
It's a pleasure.
We are going to talk about how to create an innovative environment. No matter where you're sitting in an organization, how can you create that environment where people are innovative and feel safe and secure to try new things?
A creative session should be a session that you set rules, that you say, look, any and every idea is a great idea. No judgment. And so you try to write all of those down. We want 100 quick ideas. Let's take 15 minutes. Each idea is good, so that the accountants and the lawyers who've been kind of dying to say, well, why haven't we tried this, can then give the idea without endorsing anything. No judgment, no endorsement. We just want those ideas and build upon each one. Somebody says we need to paint the wall purple. Someone else says we need to put some dots around that purple.
Yep.
And so you write those ideas down and separating the ideas into a two-step process. One, coming up with the ideas, then putting them aside, walking out, and then come back. And then the judgment begins as step two, where the lawyers can say, hey, that you're going to get sued on that one. And the accountant says, God, it costs us too much. But when everybody's together on that step two and you prioritize what the top three ideas are, you then have a team communicating and coming up with the new creative idea for the first time.
Love it. Terry, I think we often hear no judgment. I think that's no endorsement. What you said is important as well, because it does bring in some judgment, right? Oh, yeah, plus one to what he said or she said, right? Then you are bringing judgment. I like that idea better than some other ideas we've already heard.
That's right. And by saying, you know, don't react, and we don't want you to say, yeah, the great idea, not a good idea. We just want you to build upon the ideas. It really does encourage people to come up with all sorts. Let me give you an example. One of the things that we found that is effective, you know, that's a brainstorming with a group. The other thing is we came up with was something called COT, and that stands for consider or throw away. So when we did emails, you know, I would come in when I first came in as a state employee, and that, you know, all the employees almost melted down because they weren't used to trying to get all these ideas together. And they came in, they said, we can't handle it. I said, oh, I didn't expect you to do it all. I just wanted you to think about an idea. Uh-huh. And so we came up with, when I communicate to you, it doesn't mean that it's your job if I give you an idea. If I say COT, consider or throw away. If I send an email and you put COT at the end, that means you can just delete it if you want to. You don't have, I just need to get it off my chest, because you send emails, if you put action required, they understand that needs to be done. If you put for your information, we use that a lot, you know, then you should know about it. But consider or throw away, file it away, look at it once in a while and see if you can build upon it, as we talked about, to get those ideas. And all of a sudden, the frontline receptionist say that they have just a great idea of what people are thinking as they walk in the door, the pluses and minuses of your company. And maybe they saw a chair that's about to break, but what they did in the old days was write it down and put it in the suggestion box. Well, what happened? Maybe 2 weeks later, somebody took it out of the suggestion box. Somebody took it to accounting, took it to here and said, well, hey, but it took 3 or 4 weeks. And in the meantime, that receptionist saying, you know, management asked us for ideas, but they never got back to me. They don't care.
Yeah.
So by using consider or throw away, they can send the email to anybody they want, and it's a bin. And think about it at like a bushel basket. When you go, when you drink wine and they go to in California, they don't just pull all of the grapes off one vine and win an award. They go all over the valley, different minerals, different temperatures, and they find the one for that year that is going to be the award winner, so that they have this barrel with 100 different varieties, diversity. That's why when you brainstorm, you don't just have everybody look like you when you're giving ideas. You want as diverse a population around the table giving ideas as possible, because our whole audience now is diverse. We can now serve the world. If you want to just serve your little community, that's fine, but you're going to make a lot more money if you can find a new product that serves the world. So that consider or throw away is another way that individuals day in, day out can give ideas. When you go to bed at night, make sure you write down an idea. If you wake up, get it down on a piece of paper and bring that in and add that to that bushel basket.
I like this, Terry. It's allowing the ideas to free flow. Right. And leaders, it gives you a way to frame it so that team members don't feel like they have to run and do with everything that you send. And I'm here. We can also encourage everyone to be sending COT emails, right? Like, oh, here's something I ran across. Like, I thought your group might be interested in this. Like, consider it or throw it away. Right. But here's something I can pass along. And then it's creating more of this culture of let's have ideas and let's share them and let's consider whether we want to consider them.
And just as our discussion goes now, you mentioned endorsement is almost the same. If you hear an idea and you say, consider a throw, you don't want them to say right away, oh, that's a great idea, because sometimes you feel like they're kind of sucking up to the boss if you're the boss. But on the other hand, you know, you just want them to say, thank you. I know I got the idea. Thanks. And here's another idea, you know, I might have or whatever. You just want that free flow to go. But when you get them, it's all written down so that then in a week, in a month, whenever, once a quarter, you take all those ideas and everybody prioritizes what they think the top four or five are. And you'll be surprised how all of a sudden now you've got a group think tank together that you're choosing from 100 ideas rather than someone just coming in and says, I've got that $1 million idea, the one idea that I know is going to work. And then you try it and it fails. And everybody says, hey, that idea went bad. You know, I'm not going to give an idea. I'm not going to look that stupid. But if you do it as a group, then you get team buy-in.
And that's also keeping the evaluation of the ideas separate from the initial sharing of the ideas.
Because you want the lawyers to have input once you get to the decision, you know, dare to dream, and then you dare to act. So you do that first idea generation, and then you want the lawyer to say, you know, these are the ones that I don't want high priority because they have problems, or the accountants and the salespeople thinking that, hey, these are the ones we can sell the most. This one might be tougher to sell. You'll be surprised how fast the good ones really rise to the top.
Excellent.
And how exciting it is to do.
Yes. I also want to make sure we don't step over another great point that you made, Terry, around diversity, right? So maybe you interact regularly with some folks. Maybe, you know, we're not getting this perspective from marketing or customer service or the lab all of the time.
Absolutely. You want a diverse group of employees, a diverse group talking with different backgrounds and techniques. So it is a very important point of what you want to do.
Yeah. So leaders, make sure you're having those touch points with different stakeholders, with different groups, maybe even sometimes the groups that don't seem related to what you're up to, right? They just might
be the most fun
a different way.
And Amy, you know, there's a simple way to do it. That's why you want to set rules. When you bring people in to brainstorm or talk about it, you set the rules about no judgment. You can have somebody watch in case somebody goes, oh yeah, we tried that or
reaction,
you know, whatever. You say, wait a minute, no. Let's get that down. That's an idea. Okay, good. But you really want to bring those people all throughout that together to create as many of those ideas and have the rules laid out at that point.
Excellent. Terry, let me pause our conversation here for just a moment so I can tell listeners more about you. Terry's got a fascinating background. Terry Rich is a successful CEO and president of 25 years who loves to engage and entertain audiences across the globe. Under his leadership, state lottery sales and profits increased by 50%. He also led the Blank Park Zoo from a $600,000 deficit to profitability while positioning it as the second largest attended attraction in the state. his national insight on business, banking, gaming, TV production, marketing, and PR led him to success in his professional career and put him in a position to give away over $1 billion. He's a disruptive innovator and entrepreneur with a drive for integrity and honesty. He's worked in the trenches, survived new business trends, and had success with generational changes. Terry is a global speaker and has authored two books, The $80 Billion Gamble and Dare to Dream, Dare to Act. Thank you for being on the podcast, Terry.
My cheeks are red. You're embarrassing me. You know, the best part, you know, we can talk about success and having success and trying new things, but I also learned something, and that is failure is the first step to success. You know, my dad always said, hey, work hard for someone. When you go to work, you know, do a good job. And people ask me, as a new person just getting into business, what are the two things you do to tell people to be successful? I said, the first thing is raise your hand. I think it's important not to start a business immediately, to go into a business and learn the good and bad things about management and supervision and all that. But the first thing you do is raise your hand. Toilet's dirty, janitor's gone, who wants to do it? You raise your hand, you're going to be noticed. So volunteer for anything and everything that you don't know how to do in some ways, because you want to learn that. And when you have failure, reward within management is to encourage people to do and say new things. I don't know if you know this, but the three guys that went to the moon, you know, you think project managers, okay, we're going to go on this date. Everything's set. We got all the screws are tightened. Everything's ready to go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We know it's going to work. They had to course correct over 90% of the time. So if you take that, and again, as we talk this, putting these ideas together in the bushel basket and know that some of them are going to fail. And I like to tell entrepreneurs, you know, you don't blow all your money at once. You save 10% and you make that your gambling money, which is research and development, trying new ideas. So you're always growing within an organization. So you try to spend not all your money, but some of it all the time, because businesses change. Whoever thought we'd have taxis in New York and that was the only way you could travel. Then Uber came along. So like that would never happen. I mean, in my business, it was cable television. I started in cable television. The broadcasters laughed. No one's ever going to pay $6 for more TV in this country. Yeah, right. I'm paying $120 for, you know, what, YouTube and all the other TVs.
That yeah. I like where we're going, Terry. And I also think that the title to one of your books, Dare to Dream, Dare to Act, is really wise, because I think there's a different kind of daring to share our ideas and a different kind of daring required to act. In our world right now, it can feel risky to take a big swing and not be successful. So how do we dare to act? I'm hearing, you know, normalize that some of these endeavors are going to fail. Let's just know that. I'm hearing regular investment in R&D. What else would you offer for leaders?
Every failure you can learn by. That's what many people get all excited about that one idea that they think will work. They try it and it doesn't work. That's why companies, you know, sometimes with the R&D need to reward failure to push the envelope, because, you know, innovation is what keeps you going. My first failure came out of college. I was doing some on-camera TV and I noticed I didn't have a 5 o'clock shadow. So I decided to sit down and write Schick and tell him how much I love their Track 2 Razor. I sent off the letter, figuring 2 weeks I'd get a call and I'd be on national television. Well, during that 2 weeks, I started getting very excited and thinking about what if I could go do national television, all the things with it. I got the letter 2 weeks to the day. Here's what it said. Dear Mr. Rich, expressing your complete satisfaction with your Schick Track 2 Razor. Unfortunately, we can't help you. You wrote the wrong company. I failed. But I got motivated during those 2 weeks that I wanted to do on-camera television. And by the time a year or two later, I kept working on that goal. And I've been on every major network, every major cable network across the globe, and was on the Johnny Carson show as part of that, all because I failed in the beginning. So I think taking lessons and learning lessons, and I'll give you a $1 million idea that I'm still working on. It's been failing if I've executed, but I'll give you that at the end of the show, just to show you an example of how that is important. And that's why having all the ideas and having backup ideas, when you have the top four ideas, you everybody goes after the first one, done work, you hit the second, and you take a small amount of money to do that and not bet the whole deal.
I know that you have the courage of a leader. I understand that you want leaders of competence and courage in your organization. I know you're focused on attracting, inspiring, and retaining top talent. So many of you requested an assessment to see where you are as a leader and where your team could be in terms of their success. So we have built for you the Inspire Your Team assessment. You can find this assessment at courageofaleader.com/inspireyourteam. There's also a link in the show notes. When you take the assessment, which will only take you about 10 minutes to complete, you'll get a customized set of recommendations about how you can build leaders of competence and courage in your organization. You'll also be helping me out. This will be absolutely free. I just ask that you tell at least one person about the value you created for yourself through the assessment process. And you'll be giving me valuable research for my next article on the Courage of a Leader 4 Pillars. Thank you so much. Click on the link in the show notes to take the assessment and help me out. You will be glad you did. I also heard in your personal story there, Terry, that when we dare to dream and we sit with that, right? And we're thinking and we're feeling what that would be like, you know, if I'm on national television, right? It's this. Then you had a commitment that was larger than any fear of failure, right? I'm going to take additional actions and make this happen. So the dreaming got you committed enough to act.
That's right. And I think working with other people, if you're starting your own company, you want to have an advisory board. You don't want to pay them because you won't have the money, but you want an advisory board because you need expertise around. Let's go back to that lawyer or the accountant in that brainstorming. They're so important because they will help you not fail as big or actually help you succeed, because they'll get excited about, as a group, let's make this thing work, to find ways around it. But it is important to have, you know, checks and balances along the way as you go that will help you make your idea successful.
Yeah. Well, then I'm also hearing you're not the leader standing alone.
You're a team.
We're going to charge in this direction. Like, no, we've got an input. We've got an advisory board, right? They've taken a look at it. And okay, now I'm going to feel more secure.
Can I give you one more example? This is kind of a fun one. When I went to the zoo, it was losing a lot of money. They couldn't spend any money on a new exhibit. And we were trying to do this brainstorming, and we came up different ideas. And I said, well, what is it we have that's free that we could do that would bring people in? What's something we have every day we could use? And someone said, poop. Every animal poops, you know? So we decided to do an exhibit called Scoop on Poop. So the kids would come in and they'd see this and they'd giggle. And, oh, that's what tiger poop looks like. And that's what you're. And lo and behold, they're out telling their friends at school. And we cash flow the thing just like that.
Kids are coming and looking at different piles of poop.
Yep.
That's from the gorillas. That's from.
And it cost us zero. And one of the keepers said, well, you know, deer are eating all my flowers. And another zookeeper said, well, you know, tigers are predators and deer are prey. Why don't we sell the deer or the tiger poop and see if it works to push the deer away? Lo and behold, it did. We sold $20,000 in tiger poop in gallon buckets that summer for people to use to keep whitetail deer away.
My gosh.
You see how
we were going the fertilizer route.
I know it. We did go down the drain here real fast. But anyway, that kind of shows you that once I started an idea, or an employee starts an idea, then the employees came up the other way around with other ideas. And then they got excited and we all laughed and giggled and we did it together. And when you're brainstorming for the first time with a lot of group, there's a little exercise that I like to do, is not talk about your business. Let's not brainstorm ideas for the business.
Good.
Come up with something like, there's going to be a party Saturday night and we're going to give everybody a cell phone and we're going to have 10 things that we want them to do. And let's get some crazy things that they have to do. And let's see how many people can check the box. For example, I might say somebody has to go into McDonald's and put on a McDonald's hat, take a picture, and they have to have a French fry out there. And somebody else says, and ketchup on their nose. And all of a sudden, it's fun to do. And you'd say, now let's do the same thing with our business problem, but don't judge, because you didn't judge when we did this as an example where it didn't affect your job directly, because you're thinking, how is that going to affect me if we're going to try to put ketchup on somebody's nose type thing. So that's a fun exercise to do, to kind of teach the no judgment deal as you're trying to do the brainstorming for all the ideas, daring to dream.
I'm also hearing get playful. We're warming ourselves up.
Creativity is playful. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So I want to recap all the things that we talked about under dare to act. Know that some will fail. Have a regular investment in research and development. Learn from failure, but use it. Not only learn from failure, reward failure.
Which means you're putting money aside to say, I've got $100 for the best new idea, and we're going to have everybody create it. What do you think? Let's put them all together. And as we create it, person, we're going to go with this. Here's an extra $100 for coming up with what the team thought was the best idea. That's incentive for everybody to come up with new ideas, huh?
Pursue more than one idea at a time, right? Knowing some are going to fail.
So and if one fails, you can't just quit and you've lost 3 months of work.
I really think that our R&D departments, scientists, when you literally are working in a lab and you know that some protocols are not going to work, right? And you test, and it's like, okay, it's not those parameters, it's this these parameters. That kind of mindset, knowing some things are going to fail, like I want to like extract that from the scientists and the lab workers and put it into the rest of us.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yes. An advisory board. That was important too.
Yeah, you want a board at some point, but you will be, entrepreneurs are really, really good at coming up with new ideas. They're really, really poor at operations and finance and that sort of thing. So if you think of the things that you're not really good at, you know, the scientist is great with the idea of what might happen, but putting together business or an LLC or what should I do? Somebody else can do that. And so you don't want to go out and have to learn that. You want to bring in expertise, and then you don't have to reward them right away. You can give them stock for down the road, or just being a part of a new entrepreneurial company is really fun for those like me who've done it a couple of times, and to give advice and try to work on upshots on the back end.
Yes, Terry, I've put together an advisory board for myself around business development. There's yes. So many different ways that we can market and pursue opportunities. And I'm always like, I need help prioritizing like what ideas are going to have the best likelihood of leading to sales, new connections that are
worthwhile. You took the first step to understand there may be failure, and you look for ways to solve that. That's how you learn. That's part of the failure process. You're doing the right thing.
Darren, you said at the zoo, you all asked yourself the question, well, because you were in a financial deficit situation, what do we have that we can use for free? Are there any other questions like that that tend to generate great thinking?
I think just everybody will come up with an idea during the day, and then they'll forget about it sleeping at night. And ideas and success isn't measured just in revenue. Ideas success can be measured in expenses. I went to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho for a conference, and I went in the bathroom, and there was a bar of soap in a box. It was just a box with a hole in the middle, and it said waste reducing exfoliating cleanser. And I looked down, what the heck is this? And then I realized those darn accountants, somebody knew that normal size box of soap, when you take a shower and you're only there one or two nights, you take about that much off the outside, right? By putting it on. Yeah. So they cut out the middle and put that on the sink and put the rest of the bar in the shower. And now they only needed one bar of soap versus two in the waste. They just reduced their operating expense for soap by 50%. So everywhere you look, there's a better way to do something and an opportunity to make money by finding and working on that.
Yes. Okay. So like in the course of our day-to-day, sometimes I say, Terry, that a post-it note can be transformational, right? If we had that post-it note on our computer or on our desk, like what's a better way, right? What would make it cost less hassle, right? Feel easier for me, feel easier for you. And just constantly thinking, what could those ideas be?
Well, COVID, you know, really got people in a tizzy. I'm superstitious. I don't know why, but I have certain things. I had big success on one project, and I'd bought a cinnamon roll hash brown medium diet Coke from McDonald's before I went into that meeting. Okay. And so anytime I go to a different meeting that I want success, guess what I have right before that meeting? Cinnamon roll hash brown and diet Coke at McDonald's, because it puts my mind, it doesn't help any, it's not going to be good luck, but it puts my mind, same thing with what I wear. And when I'm either on TV or doing a speech or whatever, I have certain things I do more for getting me in the mental attitude, because I really have fun and I feel so. I wore everything to be happy today. That's what I want you to know.
Oh, good. Yes. Oh, I mean, that's great self-awareness. What puts you in your most confident, composed, competent mindset?
Absolutely.
Terry, you have shared so much great information with us. Thank you for the stories and making this real.
You host a great podcast, and I appreciate and what success you've had with that. Can I give my $1 million idea? I worked for the lottery, so we merged Powerball and Mega Million groups together, and they said, hey, can you come up with some ideas to promote Mega Millions? And so brainstorming a little bit, but then driving home, I'm writing down ideas, and I look up in the moon, and I saw it as a crescent. So, you know, you could just see a little stripe on the right side.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if I could get a spotlight or a laser to project the jackpot amount on the moon, I can own the moon as a billboard. So I immediately called the scientists at my university. They hung up on me. They thought I was some kook. You know, what's this guy talking about? But I got a hold of an astrophysicist at another university, and he said, well, it's going to break up as it goes through the cloud. So you're going to need something different. You're going to have to project it from outside the atmosphere. So I need someone who knows Elon Musk. We're going to get something on a satellite, and we're going to own the moon as a billboard. How's that for $1 million idea?
If you can help Terry with that.
I'll invest.
Please reach out. Yes. And how often do we all look at the moon?
That's right. It's been there forever. No one knew how to take advantage of it.
At least $1 million idea. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
For sharing your time and passion and expertise with us today.
I enjoyed it. You're a great host.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Courage of a Leader podcast. If you'd like to further explore this episode's topic, please reach out to me through the Courage of a Leader website at www.courageofaleader.com. I'd love to hear from you. Please take the time to leave a review on iTunes. That helps us expand our reach and get more people fully stepping into their leadership potential. Until next time, be bold and be brave, because you've got the courage of a leader.